first impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Gentlemen, welcome to the TNT Thursday Night Truth Show with Dale Gillespie. As regular listeners know by the sound of my voice, I am not Dale Gillespie. Dale is on vacation this week with his lovely wife and cannot do the show. So this is Ed Springston, the owner of MVM, doing the show, and hopefully we'll get through it. I tell you what, for you guys that are new to the show, the call-in numbers are 858-683-1326. Or 502-805-0334. For the guys that are in the listening queue, and gals, of course, we appreciate you guys always being there. But hit that number one on your dial pad if you want to be heard on air. And for everybody else, if you don't want to call in, you want to have a live chat discussion, feel free to join our chat room, or you can sign in with your Facebook ID, your Twitter ID, and a whole host of other ways to get in there. And as always, you can visit LouisvillePolitics.com. or at Springston.com for all the latest on the things that we're doing. And if nothing else, you can listen to podcast of this show right here at BTR or at LouisvillePolitics.com. We prefer LouisvillePolitics.com, of course. And, you know, there's so many things that are always going on. You can also listen to us on iTunes and Stitcher. But there are so many things that are always going on in and around Louisville, Kentucky, which is where we originate from, and the country as well. You know, but our legislature is basically wrapped up at this point here in Kentucky. They just wrapped up the session or are in the process of it. And there's always this question that we have to ask at the end of every session. Did they really do anything? Here in Kentucky, the answer is typically no. I don't see anything major in this session that would change that answer. Now, there were a couple of things that could be construed as being positive, and this is one of them. There was the bill passed that was going to allow medical marijuana oil trials, to help children who suffer from seizures. Did receive final legislative approval on Monday by the House and the Senate. Both sides agreed to it and sent it to Governor Steve Beshear for his signature. Nobody sees a problem with Steve Beshear signing this. It's Senate Bill 124. The Kentucky State Police are supportive of this bill, so there's no reason not to sign the medical oil bill. So it's expected to go through. So is this a good thing? Is this something that's a positive step forward? In Kentucky, even as small as this is, yes, it's a positive step forward. And I tell you why, because in Kentucky, one of the big problems is that, you know, we don't look at marijuana and want to even think about marijuana. Industrial hemp should be something that Kentucky should be growing right now. They don't even have, you know, such THC contents that you could get high with it. You know, and we're reluctant to even do that. So, you know, these medical marijuana oil trials are going to help a lot of people with epilepsy and seizures and things like that. So, yeah, this is probably a good step forward. And hopefully it opens the door to full medical marijuana use, maybe in the next session or two. You know, another thing that you can look at and say is maybe a good thing, House Bill 128. This is legislation that was passed that was going to allow victims of domestic violence to temporarily carry concealed weapons. So it won final passage in the Kentucky legislature and sent to the governor to sign. It passed the House on a final passage on Monday with a 92-6 vote. And what it basically does, it allows victims of domestic violence to be able to temporarily carry a concealed deadly weapon for up to 45 days. But during that 45-day period, if they want to continue carrying concealed weapons, they have to finish, of course, the state firearms requirement training to get their permanent permit, which is basically an 8-hour course. It costs about $75. And there's somebody giving those courses all the time. And then, of course, you got to pass a background check either way to get the temporary one. So, you know, we've got these kind of things. And there's also another provision that would allow electronic applications for concealed carry permits. So I'm kind of looking forward to see how many people take advantage of that. You know, so we've got all of this stuff. Now, the things that should have passed that didn't, once again, to restore voting rights for Kentucky felons, is not going to pass this year. They could not reach an agreement over the different versions of this legislation. GOP Senate floor leader Damon Thayer had previously amended the bill to include a 5-year waiting period, and it was not going to cover felons with multiple offenses. Of course, supporters of the proposed legislation, the original legislation, did not like Thayer's changes because it wasn't going to affect about half of the 180,000 convicted felons, convicted Kentuckians, that it was supposed to help. So Thayer has basically reached a point where compromise and passage is unlikely, and they worked together on a budget, which, of course, they finally agreed on. So, you know, this is one of those things that should have passed that did not pass, and we don't know why. You know, so we've got a lot of people out there that, you know, have made mistakes in their youth or something like that, that still don't have full voting rights, can't carry weapons or things like that. And we're not talking about, you know, severe hardened criminals here, folks. I mean, if you get convicted of a marijuana felony, you know, and you pay your dues to society that is agreed to by a court, whether that's by jury or by judge, you know, if you served your time, your parole is over, you paid your debt to society, to be screwed for the rest of your life over a youthful mistake, you know, and there's tons of cases like that, to me, is ridiculous. That's the bottom line. So when we look at these things in place, the Kentucky legislature really is not doing some of the things that they should be. They're just not. I'm not sure why. Don't have a clue. But that's the way it is here in Kentucky, right? And you guys, I've got to apologize. I should have done this at the start of the show. You're probably hearing some kind of a cold or nasal thing in my voice tonight, and I apologize. I'm suffering from these allergies. I guess this rain today really hit hard, and just can't seem to clear up these allergies. So my apologies for you guys having to deal with that during the show. Believe me, it's not any easier for me either. But, you know, so that's the Kentucky legislature for now. There are some things going on around the country, and this is a serious issue that I would love to hear from you guys about. And you can also write to us at myviewmatters@aol.com, or you can write to louisvillepolitics@gmail.com. If you're not comfortable talking on air and things like that, that's fine. And I know there's always people that are in the listening queue that don't like to talk on air, but they always have an opinion that they want heard. So that's just another option for you. But yesterday, the Supreme Court struck down the aggregate campaign contribution limits. Essentially what that did is it basically put Citizens United on steroids. Everybody knows what the decision by the Supreme Court for Citizens United opened the door to massive corporate money into politics. It opened the door to all these super PACs that we continue hearing about today, and it greatly raised the threshold for how much money it will take to actually fight and try to win an election. I don't think that this case, it was a 5-4 ruling, the case is McCutcheon versus the FEC, the Federal Election Commission. The actual opinion was penned by Chief Justice John Roberts himself, joined by Anthony Kennedy, Samuel Alito, Antonin Scalia, and also Justice Clarence Thomas, although Clarence Thomas wrote a separate opinion. But it's interesting to me. We have been complaining because money is buying elections for so long. Then Citizens United, McCain-Feingold started this mess. Then Citizens United went to the next level. And now this is taking us to an even different level of corporate money in elections. And I say this for a reason, because the two-party system, as we call it here on this network, most cases, is what we call the uniparty. The uniparty is a Republican and Democratic party standing together. Doesn't matter what rhetoric they're using or what lies they're perpetrating against the other. The fact of the matter is that no matter which side they try to lie, cheat, manipulate, everything that they do is all by design to keep everybody out that's not part of their mainstream agenda. And I don't make that statement lightly. Let's look at Senator Rand Paul, Thomas Massie, Senator Ted Cruz, Justin Amash, a whole host of other libertarian style conservatives who are part of the Republican Party, and let's look at the backlash they continue to receive within the Republican Party. These guys came to fame using grassroots efforts. These guys didn't have major corporate donors and major super PACs spending millions and millions of dollars on their behalf like the entrenched do, like a Harry Reid, a Nancy Pelosi, a Mitch McConnell, Barack Obama. No, these guys were basically grassroots organizers. Ron Paul, father of Senator Rand Paul, made money bombs popular. He didn't go out and have the super PACs doing all this. He did what was called money bombs. And these money bombs raised money from individual donors and individual contributors up to the maximum amount allowed by law. Well, what this Supreme Court decision does is it takes away and strips all of the money that you are used to seeing limited to campaign committees, to the RNC, to the DNC, all of the money that is limited to that, to basically, you know, $100,000 aggregate limits. I mean, now essentially you can give, I mean, $5 million. I mean, think about that. $5 million. That's a lot of money. So we've got a situation here where we have taken Citizens United to the next level. We've allowed corporations, they can pay all this money to all these different places and hedge their bets and buy elections. It really is that simple. You give me $10 million to spend on a local metro council race that normally spends $10,000 to $20,000 max. Oh, I'll buy the seat. That's not going to be an issue. I'll win any race I want. Give me $50 million to go run for mayor of Louisville, for example. That usually costs around $10 to $12 million. How much advertising and mailers and door-to-door people can I buy to go do take care of that and get me elected? When you take the campaign limits off, you create the same situation we've been complaining about for quite some time now. You create a situation where a politician can sell out to the highest bidder, get the most amount of money, and sit there and try to buy an election. Because let's face it, folks, most people are naive when it comes to elections. Some people get offended when I say that, but it's the truth. The right to life people, if anyone would agree with abortions at all, they're not going to vote for them. They might not vote at all. The pro-abortion crowd, if you're a candidate that's against abortion, you're not going to vote for that candidate. Might not vote at all. And that's what this is designed to do. So the more money you put out there, if you're a right-to-lifer, you put out a ton of money out there to try to convince those people that you're right-to-life too. You just outspend your opponent $10 million to $1 million because of corporate money. Guess what? Makes a difference. Never mind that the fight over abortion has been ruled on by the Supreme Court about a million different ways. It's a fact of life in this land, and don't get me wrong, I'm a right-to-life person. I'm a right-to-life person. But that is not an issue that affects most of America. It's been decided by the Supreme Court. Let the courts do their job in that. That right-to-life issue and abortion issue doesn't have one damn thing to do with creating jobs. Doesn't have one thing to do with what it takes to make America successful. And yet, the voters naively will do that. It's the same thing with gun rights. I am pro-gun rights. I am pro-First Amendment, Second Amendment. I'm pro-Constitution. But let's look at gun rights. If you're somebody who thinks that guns should be regulated, registered, and controlled, you're anti-gun and anti-Second Amendment. It doesn't matter if the candidate that's running for office believes in the Second Amendment or not. Doesn't matter. You know where you stand, and that's the only issue you're going to go vote on. Does it create jobs? No. Doesn't create one job. Does it affect the majority of Americans? Well, there's a lot of gun owners out there. I'm one of them. But at the end of the day, again, the Supreme Court is going to rule one way or the other no matter what they pass. The largest problem in this country is financial. What leads us to that problem? Nobody cares about the Constitution anymore. The liberals want to destroy the free market. And I love it when they get so angry when I say that. And I'll give you another example. You know, every story that's come out about this Supreme Court decision by a liberal newspaper or a liberal slant MSM particular place, they point out one thing, and they always point this out. Every story I've seen, that the Supreme Court ruling immensely helps the Republican Party. The Republican Party is going to benefit greatly from this Supreme Court ruling. Why? Because they say that the Republican Party relies far more on large campaign donors than the Democrats do. Now, this is funny to me because one of the stories that I'm using as a source here on this particular issue is the Huffington Post. The Huffington Post goes on and says this will immeasurably help the Republican Party, which relies far more on large campaign donors who give the maximum campaign contributions. In the past year, Republican congressional political party committees have struggled to raise funds as compared to their Democratic counterparts and the Republican National Committee. Think about that. They tell you that this is going to be the biggest benefit to the Republican Party, yet in the same paragraph in their story, they point out that the Republican Party has been struggling to raise funds to compete with their Democratic counterparts. Now, you talk about a bait and switch and spin to win. There you go. The Democrats are going to benefit from this. They're already benefiting from the standard aggregate limits now. Do you think they're not going to benefit when people can give more? That's what's always been so great about America, is being able to have an equal opportunity. And when you're a no-name running for office, as you know, Rand Paul, Justin Amash, Tom Massey, Ted Cruz, a lot of these other libertarian conservatives, you know, these guys went out grassroots. They took the maximum campaign contributions they could get from the people, but they didn't have millions of dollars of corporate money given to them. Did not. Well, now, you know, these guys were all part of, you know, the establishment, if you will, and I don't mean from their political views, but I mean they are elected officials, okay? So now all this money is going to start becoming available to them because they're incumbents. You know, it's not that the Republicans are going to benefit or the Democrats are going to benefit, but the incumbents are going to benefit, because if you're somebody trying to run for office, it just solidified their chances of being able to maintain that office, because they're already there, and the lobbyists and the corporate money is going to pick and choose who they want to continue being there. And a guy on the street who can't even get access to talk to these corporations about helping them at all. So you've solidified the two-party system power more than we ever have to this point. That should be disturbing. It should be disturbing. The one thing that they didn't change, however, and John Roberts made it clear in his opinion, that this ruling and the case, McCutcheon versus the Federal Election Commission, that was brought into the court, does not challenge the base contribution limits. And what that means is, for individual contributions, if I want to contribute to a candidate, I can still only contribute $2,600 to per candidate per election. I can still only contribute $32,400 to political party committees per year. And I can still only give $5,000 per PAC per year. So here we go. The grassroots guys are limited, but nobody else is. That should be extremely concerning to everyone. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about California, North Carolina, New York. You guessed it. All over the news over the last week or so, we've been getting all of these stories of all these Democrat-elected public officials being arrested for felony charges. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. You're listening to the TNT Thursday Night Truth Show. We'll be right back.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
TNT Thursday Night Truth Show. As you notice, I'm not Dale Gillespie. Dale's on vacation this week, as we announced at the top of the show. If you guys want to call in, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. And you guys on the listening queue, man, there's a bunch of y'all tonight. We appreciate you listening in. But hit that number one on your dial pad, and we'd love to hear from you on air when you have something you want to say. As we know, we spent time talking about the Supreme Court ruling yesterday, and we spend all kinds of time, honestly, talking about voter fraud. And I tell you, it doesn't seem to get any better. And what makes it so interesting is that right now, we are continuing to see, I haven't seen any Republicans arrested, tried, or convicted for election voter fraud. But we're seeing a constant barrage of Democrat elected officials being arrested, tried, and convicted for election fraud. Federal law enforcement a week ago today, arrested two Democrat public officials in California and North Carolina. They also raided the office of a New York State senator in connection with corruption investigations. This story came out Thursday. You go to the Washington Post. They've had a good story on it. There's a couple others out there as well. Just Google it. But hundreds of federal agents conducted searches of offices in the San Francisco Bay Area, arrested a bunch of people Tuesday that included one state senator, Leland Yee, and a former head of a Hong Kong-based crime syndicate. What's really fascinating with Lee, it's very disturbing actually, but Lee has been praised for his efforts to make government more transparent. He has been a gun control advocate forever, and the charges against him were conspiracy to deal firearms and wire fraud. In an FBI affidavit that was part of the criminal complaint against him and 25 other people, Yee, had performed official acts in exchange for donations from undercover FBI agents. Because he was $70,000 in debt over a failed San Francisco mayoral bid. He also accepted $10,000 from an undercover agent in exchange for making a call to the California Department of Public Health in support of a contract that was under consideration. The other person named in this particular affidavit is Raymond Chow. Raymond Chow is known as Shrimp Boy, the former leader of a Chinese criminal organization with ties to Hong Kong. Chow is accused of money laundering, conspiracies to receive and transport stolen property, and conspiracy to traffic contraband cigarettes. You know, I tell you, he, of course, is not only being charged with bribery and public corruption, but State Senator Yee is being charged with gun running because Yee was working with Shrimp Boy to illegally import firearms into the U.S. and sell them without a license. This is a guy who is advocating gun control legislation. According to the affidavit, there was $2 million worth of weapons that came in from the Philippines and included rocket launchers and machine guns, some of which State Senator Yee himself had fired. What do you think about that? A portion of the weapons that State Senator Yee conspired to bring in through New Jersey were forwarded to North Africa via Sicily. This is a gun control advocate, a Democrat gun control advocate, folks. Think about that. Think about that. This guy's gun running. $2 million worth of weapons. Working with a Hong Kong crime lord. This is one of those ultra-liberals in California, people. Take their guns away, and then let's illegally put them back on the street. Come on. How do we continue to allow this? Charlotte Mayor Patrick Cannon, another Democrat, was arrested last Wednesday and charged with theft and bribery after an FBI sting operation. Mayor Cannon had served for 2 decades on the Charlotte City Council before being elected in November as mayor. He'd been mayor 4 or 5 months. He solicited and accepted bribes from undercover FBI agents. I don't know what to tell you about this. I mean, you know, Charlotte, North Carolina is the state's largest city. It was also the site of the 2012 Democratic National Convention. He accepted more than $48,000 in bribes from undercover agents who were posing as businessmen who wanted to work with Charlotte. Believe me, this goes on here in Louisville, too. I'm sure of it. So Mayor Cannon accepted cash, airline tickets, hotel rooms, the use of a luxury apartment, and he'd actually solicited more than $1 million more than what he had actually received. The last time he met with the undercover agents, he took $20,000 in cash. And, of course, he resigned office saying that these pending charges are just going to create too much of a distraction for the business of the city to go forward. So he resigned out of the goodness of his heart. According to the U.S. Attorney's Office, the FBI actually had been looking at this guy since at least 2010. They started an investigation in 2010 against him. He faces 20 years in prison and more than $1 million in fines. Want to bet he doesn't get nowhere near that? I mean, this is what we run into every single day. New York, FBI agents raided a Democrat Assemblyman William Scarborough's office and questioned Scarborough at his Albany hotel room. The only thing that Scarborough would tell reporters was that the FBI was interested in his per diem reimbursements during his service in the state legislature. The FBI confirmed the arrest of Scarborough and wouldn't comment further. Do you think this guy was actually arrested for a little bit of per diem? Or is there more to it? Once again, a Democrat. His arrest came just a few days after federal agents raided the home and offices of Rhode Island House Speaker Gordon Fox, Democrat. An investigation by the U.S. Attorney's Office, the FBI, the IRS, and the Rhode Island State Police led to the raid of Democrat House Speaker Gordon Fox in Rhode Island. Wow. What was he arrested for? Any ideas? And that's the thing. That seems to be the common theme with all of this. Democrats continue to get nailed. William Jefferson Clinton, remember him? Arkansas. Kept bundling all his cash and throwing it in his daggone freezer at his house. Democrat. You know, it just never ceases to amaze me how much of this continues to go on. It doesn't. We'll be right back.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers.
And welcome back to the TNT Thursday Night Truth Show. I am Ed Springsteen, guest hosting for Dale the Truth Gillespie, who is out of town this week. We spent this whole time talking about the Democrats who continue getting arrested for taking bribes, embezzling, gun running, you name it, it's there, all over the country, New York, Rhode Island, California, North Carolina. You know, that we haven't even talked about voter fraud, and convictions on voter fraud in places like Ohio, Cincinnati, one of Barack Obama's main states. You know, we look at all of this, and then we continue getting even more information. Widespread voter fraud in North Carolina. This story is out today from Town Hall. This is a very interesting situation. Turns out that dead people still vote. Yep. Dead people still vote. According to the Town Hall story, and an audit done by North Carolina Elections Oversight Committee, at least 81 people have been voting from the grave. More than 35,000 people with matching full names and dates of birth voted in both North Carolina and other states during the 2012 general election. By the way, these were Democrats. Barack Obama carried North Carolina by less than 15,000 votes in 2008. And, of course, double voting is a crime. It's really disturbing. He wins by less than 15,000 votes in 2008 in North Carolina, and yet 35,000 people in North Carolina voted in at least two states, to include one of which was North Carolina. What does that tell us, folks? What does that tell us? This is crazy. This is crazy. And that was the audit by the North Carolina Elections Oversight Committee. Unbelievable. Of course, there was a 2012 report out of Florida, that had even more. There was a bunch of fraud. Local NBC had done this report last month. Dozens of illegal voters in Florida. You know, and yet everybody is screaming, we don't want voter ID laws. Everybody should have a right to vote. We don't need voter ID laws. We've got illegal immigrants that are voting every year. They're not U.S. citizens. They're not allowed to vote. Openly bragging about voting. And their votes count. You know, it's crazy how these leftists and liberals want to sit here screaming that voter fraud doesn't exist. It's just the Republicans and the right-wing conservatives who are causing all of this trouble over nothing. Yet it's becoming an almost daily habit to find Democrats committing voter fraud and election fraud. This is how these guys get in office. You know, we look at this stuff, and we continue checking this out. You know, we have had convictions. Acorn, I mean, let's face it. Acorn was finally defunded. That was who Barack Obama was part of. They were finally defunded. You know, let's look at True the Vote and all the other conservative and libertarian PACs who were singled out by the IRS. We've had voter fraud prosecutions in 46 states just since the year 2000. The NBC report I just talked about, I'll put the link in the chat room for you guys that are there or want a copy of it when you get there. It is there now. This was a report out of Fort Myers, Florida, that aired last month. Fort Myers, Florida's WBBH-TV reporter, Andy Periotti, had tracked down dozens of local residents who were non-U.S. citizens, and they were registered to vote in Florida. Now, how can you be a non-U.S. citizen, an illegal immigrant, and be registered to vote in any place? Why are we not checking the status on voter rolls? They had illegally voted in recent elections. Election officials don't pay any attention to where non-citizens live. So Andy Periotti decided to find out on his own. Fort Myers, Florida supervisors, county supervisors of the elections, were told him that they have no way to verify citizenship. And under the 1992 motor voter law in Florida, they're not required to ask for any proof. According to one of those supervisors, they have no policing authority. They have no way of bouncing information off of any other database. So the only thing they can do is wait until they get a tip, and then maybe they can investigate. Voter fraud convictions in 46 states since 2000. All primarily Democrats. Do you think the liberals love America? Honestly? Do we think that the liberals love America? I don't think so. They're taking bribes, working as gun runners, committing voter fraud, election fraud, every bit of fraud you could possibly think of. Liberals love America? I don't know. Well, I can't see it. Try going to Mexico. The largest population of illegal immigrants in this country are Mexican. Ask them if they can vote in Mexico without voter ID, although they want that right here. Ask if they can vote in Mexico without being a Mexican citizen, although they want that right here. Ask what happens in Mexico if you try it, like that gets done here in the United States. Is it disturbing? Are you upset yet? Because you should be. You should be. The Democrats are making more money for elections than the Republicans. The Supreme Court makes a decision to allow even more money, corporate money, to get into elections, to buy more seats. The Democrats are screaming foul, saying this is going to benefit the Republicans, but we know that to be a lie. What are the Democrats doing with that extra money? They're busing people into the voting booths, many of which are illegal, many of which do not have the right to vote, many of which, if you look at North Carolina as an example, are voting in their home state as well as another state. And there's no way to check this out. There's no national database. Explain that to me. What does it take to maintain a national database of registered voters across this country? And explain to me why that is such a bad thing. Now, I have my Republican friends and conservative friends get on me about that. They will talk to me about intrusion, loss of privacy, all of these other things. And while I'm generally in tune with that mindset, when it comes to protecting the integrity of these elections from the people who make the choices for us, you explain to me why we can't verify voter rolls. You explain to me why we have 46 states that have had voter fraud prosecutions since the year 2000. You explain to me why in North Carolina, New York, Rhode Island, California have all these Democrats being arrested and brought up on charges, elected Democrats being arrested and brought up on charges of everything from accepting bribes to gun running by these so-called gun control advocates in their home state like Yee in California. Explain those things to me like I'm a four-year-old because I don't get it. And yet the Democrats still want this openness of voting without any voter ID at all. Go to Mexico, folks. Try voting there under the same rules we have here. See what happens to you. See what happens to you. You may not like it. You may call me a racist. You may think I'm anti-immigration. I'm anything but. But I do believe in our Constitution. I do believe in our way of life in America. It's been bent so far it's on the point of collapse and breaking, which is exactly what the liberal left would love nothing better than. I was talking with a friend today, and he talked about the Balkans and being Balkanized. Think about the direction this country is going right now. Does anybody remember the Balkans? By the time all the wars were done and everything else, they basically created three different countries in one, if you will. That's what he meant by being Balkanized. You think we're not trying to do that here? Could you not imagine the North, New York, New Jersey, and all along the coast, all these ultra liberals having one way of life. The West, from Texas and beyond, with all the illegal immigrants being another on the same soil. And then everybody in the middle that would include Kentucky, Alabama, Georgia, and all that stuff, Arkansas, that kind of stuff, being the third. I can see that. I really can. I hate to concede that, but I can see that. And that's disturbing. And it all starts by allowing corporate America to buy elections with this latest faulty ruling, in my opinion, from the Supreme Court in McCutcheon versus the FEC, by opening up the door to unlimited contributions and stopping aggregate limits. And it continues with the liberal left thinking that voter fraud and election fraud is a good thing. Those like your current president, Barack Obama, and his great pal, Bill Ayers, of the Weather Underground, who should have been in prison a long time ago and stayed there for the rest of his life, along with the clowns of the Weather Underground that he was part of. Nope. Nobody wants to look at that, do they? I'm not a big fan of Rush Limbaugh. Let me tell you why. It's not that I don't think that Rush Limbaugh is not right in most cases. I do think he's pretty on the mark a lot of the time. But what I'm not in favor of Rush Limbaugh is I don't like a blowhard, a self-righteous people. They're part of the problem, not the solution. So that's my caveat there. But there's a reason I bring up Rush Limbaugh. Today on his show, I was sent a transcript. I was sent a transcript by a friend of mine who does this from time to time. I usually laugh and don't read them. But he called me personally and said, read this transcript from Rush today. I think you'll really enjoy it. The title was, of the transcript on Rush's show today, was Elite Leftists Dislike the Constitution. When Rush had his program today at the beginning of it, he was reading a piece by Charles Koch in the Wall Street Journal. Yes, I don't know why it was posted by, everybody pronounces it as Charles Koch, but I always refer to him as Charles Koch. Sorry, just got to deal with it. But when you look at this, according to Limbaugh, Charles Koch has basically devoted his life to learning about studying and all about people improving their lives. You know, what a lot of people don't know is the Koch brothers, there's actually four of them, the two we hear most about, identify as being libertarian. A lot of people don't know that. So anyway, Rush went on to talk about how he'd received a couple of phone calls on freedom and liberty and how the left defines it and how those on the right define it. But then he goes out to point out some very interesting things. And you kind of have to agree with his sense here. When you talk about the Bill of Rights, he begs the question, which of the first 10 of the Bill of Rights have Democrats fought to expand? Which of the amendments do liberals even fight to defend? Amendment 2 they want written out. Of course, we know the Second Amendment is a right to keep and bear arms. They don't want the people to have the right to keep and bear arms. Freedom of religion? He says, no way, pal. Uh-uh. Now think about this. We know about all these gun control advocates out there, the ultra-liberal left, and we also know about California State Senator Democrat Yee, who just got caught getting out there advocating for gun control while being arrested for arms dealing, illegal arms running, $2 million worth of arms. That makes sense. When you look at the freedom of religion, and he says, no way, pal, no way, Jose. Think about that. If you're a Christian in this country today, you're persecuted. You don't have the freedom of religion. If you're a Muslim in this country today, you are protected by the state and our government. Do we have true freedom of religion? No. That all went out the door. Freedom of speech? Forget that. There's no such thing as freedom of speech when you get all this political correctness going on. I agree with Rush on that. We also now have stories about how Barack Obama's government is going to go into these mainstream newsrooms and try to tell them how to spin the news. That's state-sponsored media, folks. That's not freedom of speech. So Rush is right about that. You know, when you talk about all of these things, the right to bear arms, freedom of speech, limit religious freedom, blah, 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 all these things that they have done, got involved in, try to destroy, they have created, the liberal left has created a dependent nation. Although I rarely listen to Rush Limbaugh, very rarely read any transcripts, I thank my friend for sending me this today because I think he's dead on. I think he's dead on. When you have a dependent nation, you don't learn to fend for yourselves. You're not worried about the Constitution. The liberal left isn't worried about the Constitution. They care less about the Bill of Rights. Very, very interesting. And I'm actually going to put it in the chat room real quick for you guys so that you can see it as well. This is a transcript of the show from Rush today, and I have to thank my friend for it because I typically would not have looked at this. So you think about this. If the left doesn't stand for anything, expanding anything in the Bill of Rights that our founders thought was important enough to write up and put in there and define our way of life, what are they for? They don't want free speech. They don't want guns in America. They don't want freedom of religion. They want to tell you who you can stand with, who you can talk with, who you can walk with. They want to continually put their nose in business of yours that has absolutely zero to do with any of them. Why is that? Why is that? More importantly, why is it that we the people don't seem to care as much anymore? Why is that? Who am I to judge you on your way of life? If you smoke, fine. If you're doing it in your own home, that's your business. If you're doing it in a business that allows it, that's their business. You have a choice. It's your choice to make, not mine. If you believe in Buddhism, congratulations. Not my problem. This is a free country. But that's the problem today. Everywhere you go, somebody wants to tell you how to act, how to walk, how to talk, how to live your life. Your life should be lived the way that you choose to live it. As long as you're holding on to the basic tenet of a good society, where you're not harming any others, it's not our business. It's not our business. That's the truth. But somehow, some way, we are continuing to allow this government to erode those basic freedoms and those basic rights in favor of making us all dependent and making us all zombies, and making us all alike. I'm outraged. You should be too. That's it for tonight. Tomorrow night, not tomorrow night, my apologies, Sunday night at 7 o'clock, don't forget to check out our good friend Ken Mulman with his brand of Liberty Unbridled. If you're a libertarian, it's a show you want to listen to. If you're a true conservative or a constitutionalist, it's a show you want to listen to. Check him out Sunday nights at 7 o'clock right here, same time, same channel. And as for me, I will see you Monday night, and Dale will be back next week. So enjoy what's left of your evening, folks. We'll talk to you then. Take care.